Bubbling. Amen. If the Spirit of the Lord is not bubbling in your soul, amen, maybe you need just a kind of a refilling and a refreshing of God's grace and His mercy. Good to see you this morning. Hope that you had a good Thanksgiving holiday. Hope that you're just coming to the house of the Lord to worship and praise Him. As we said the other day, every day ought to be Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Amen. We got a lot to give the Lord praise for and to thank Him each and every day. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. John. Very familiar story in the Bible this morning that God has brought to my attention this week. I pray this morning that He will give me deliverance, the anointing to share with you this morning what I do feel that He has laid upon our heart. In the sixth chapter of the book of St. John, I want us to begin in verse number 15 this morning. Read through verse number 21. Again, the book of St. John, chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. And when even was now come, His disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But He saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received Him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Can we pray this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, so grateful, God, for Your Holy Spirit. Thankful for Your many blessings that You have bestowed upon us. Thankful for this day and this opportunity that You have given us together, God, to worship and to praise You. Father, I pray this morning that You would anoint these lips of clay, God, as a vessel and an oracle, that the Holy Spirit may speak to us this morning. God, that we not be hearers only, but doers also of Your word. I pray, God, that if there's any needs in this house this morning, I know, God, that You are able, God, and willing to meet those needs. We ask You, Lord, for healing for those who are sick. We ask You for protection for those who are traveling. We ask Your Holy Spirit just to take charge of this service. We'll give You all praise and honor and glory, for we ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. Praise God. How many is glad to be in church?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there comes a time in a person's life when you're just glad to be anywhere. I'm reaching that point. I'm just glad to be here. Amen. You know, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next breath. But I'm so thankful each and every day that God allows me to get up, amen, and stand on my own two feet and begin to glorify and praise Him. I heard Brother James say this morning, I can't wait for Wednesday and Sunday. I love that excitement, don't you? Amen. I praise God for that. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled Overcoming Darkness and Fear. Sounds a little difficult, doesn't it? With the situations that arise in this world today. And sometimes it can be difficult. We don't know the answer. If we don't know the one who calms the storm, the one who steals us in the frightening times of our life. This particular event takes place just after a great and mighty miracle, one that almost any Sunday school a student could relate to you and tell you about the feeding of the 5,000 men, let alone women and children, where Jesus took the fishes and the loaves and He blessed them and distributed them, and miraculously they were multiplied and fed the multitude that was there, and not only fed them, how many knows that not only was it sufficient, but there was some left. Amen. They received 12 baskets of fragments left over. Can I tell you that Jesus will give you more and over, amen, that you even need. If you'll just put your faith and trust in Him, He will always make a way. Then the Bible tells us that there became the expectation of man to
They realized something in Jesus. They saw the miracles that he performed. They saw the diseases that he healed. And they saw the cripples and the blinds and the lame folks that came to Jesus, and he touched them, and eyes were opened, and limbs were made strong, and diseases were rebuked, and they saw such power, and they began to think in their natural minds about a great king that this would be, and they were ready. The Bible says Jesus perceived, or he understood in his mind, basically he discerned the thoughts of man. How many knows that even before we speak the word, Jesus knows? And he knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And that to me is an awesome responsibility for a Christian to understand and know that. It's a testimony of faith, because Jesus already knows what we need ever before we even ask it. But he discerned the thoughts of these multitude of these people, and when they would come and by force take him and make him a king, he began to steal away and go into a mountain alone to pray. But before he did, Matthew and Mark recalls the fact, or records the fact, that Jesus constrained or directed his disciples to go and leave the mountain and go down to the sea and get into a boat and go to the other side. Now, this is a particular interest, because here John doesn't mention that. He just says the disciples go down to the sea and get ready to go over to the other side. But again, if you read all four Gospels, actually that was under the direction of Jesus. He told them to do that. He constrained or directed them to go down. How many knows that when Jesus formulates a plan, he doesn't always tell us every step? Can I get a testimony? Can I get a witness? How many has ever been there? How many of us want the full explanation? We want the full details in order. Lord, when are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And let me in on it. But I've found out that Jesus doesn't always do that. What he wants us to do is just release that issue into his hands by faith and by trust in the Lord Jesus' ability to make a way. He will always make a way. And I will assure you, it will be done right. Maybe not according to our expectations, but it will be done right. So Jesus dismissed the multitude. He constrained or directed the disciples to go down into the sea, or to the sea, get in the boat and go over to the other side. And look again. He goes again unto the mountain. And I thought about this. Jesus, the Son of God, full of the power of the deity, the creator of all heaven and earth, saw it needful and beneficial to enter and again visit the mountain. And I began to think about that in our religiosity, I can't say that word, in our self-proclaimed religious deity or whatever we think that we are. So many times we think that we got everything under control. But here is Jesus, knowing what is about to happen, knowing the thoughts of man, knowing his mission, saw it needful and beneficial to go to the mountain again. Alone, it says. But how many knows when we're alone, we're not really alone? Amen? I just said all of that to say this. It wouldn't hurt us to visit the mountain again. Amen? It wouldn't hurt us to fall on our knees again, to speak to God and to listen to God and ask him to help us, whatever the situation may be arising. So many times we wait till the middle of the storm. So many times we wait till fear is upon us. So many times we wait till affliction or sickness has gripped us. But I guarantee you, if every once in a while we'll visit the mountain. I'm not talking about a natural mountain here. I'm talking about a place where we can get in touch with God. A place where we can dismiss everything else. A place where we can cut our phones off, cut our disturbances off, get away from this, get away from the television. Find that place of intimacy with God and begin to listen to God and to the voice of God as he begins to direct us. Amen. Because he knows what we're about to face. So Jesus went again unto the mountain. And it said, when even was now come, his disciples went down under the sea. I'm not much of a seafaring man. I've been on the sea some, but I would just imagine the most, or the probably the least best time to get on the sea is probably at night, especially in a little wooden boat. Even though that many of his disciples were experienced fishermen and knew what it was to be on the sea at night, but I would just imagine that would not be the greatest time to be out on the sea. And even that, maybe they were even looking at the clouds and with an expectation that, you know what, it may not be the best time to be sailing. There's something that looks in the clouds. I don't know what it was, but Jesus had a reason for it. Amen. And I so many times I thought about that. So rather than us analyzing what God has directed us to do, why don't we just do it? Why don't we get past, well, it doesn't look right? Why can't we get past, well, it's not the convenient time? Why can't we be like the disciples and just go on the voice and the commandment of the Lord? He said, go on, and they went and they left. It may not be the greatest time in our life. It may not be the greatest opportunity. But if God begins to speak to our heart, to tell us to do something, I want you to understand and know that God has a plan for that. God's going to get honor and going to get glory out of it. And He just needs us to be submissive and obedient. So the disciples obeyed the voice of the Lord, and they go down and they get into the boat, and the Bible says they begin to row out about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, and in southern vernacular, that's 3 or 4 miles. That's a pretty good little row, and that lets me to know that when they left the seashore, the wind wasn't blowing. Because if the wind was blowing, they probably would have raised the sail a little bit. I know about it. And maybe the wind would have guided them. But the Bible says they rowed. How many, some of us, we don't like to row. We want the Holy Ghost wind to blow us through these situations and these little uprisings that come in our life. But let me tell you something, folks. When I started out for the Lord, there was some rowing to do. Amen? Hallelujah. I had not progressed like I needed to. I was full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and didn't know a thing about obeying the Lord. Amen. So many folks think we just get saved and sit down and wait till Jesus comes. No, He said, go ye out. Amen. You begin to share the word. You begin to witness to people. You begin to be an ambassador for the Lord. Do you know that you are a walking billboard for what a Christian is? And when many times other folks are led to Christ by our actions and by our words and by our testimony. Amen. And sometimes it is very hard. Sometimes it gets very dark out there. Sometimes it's really even frightening. But how many knows it's no time to go back to the shore? We got to keep rowing. Amen. We got to keep on rowing. Amen. We got to encourage one another as disciples. We can't give up. I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle. But help me, and I'm going to help you. You pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. And by the grace of God, we will reach the other side. But we can't go back. We got to keep rowing. We got to keep going. We got to keep on for Jesus. Amen. And they rowed and they rowed and they rowed about 3 or 4 miles out. Then I want you to look what happened. The Bible says very expressly here. And I read that and cold chills ran all over me. I've read this story time and time again. I probably preached on it more times than I can even remember. But the Lord began to speak to me in certain situations and began to encourage my spirit. Don't you love it when the Lord just begins to encourage you? Don't you just love it when you need a voice to lift you up? There's the Lord. Amen. Don't you just love it, amen, when you need someone to wrap their arm around you, just let you know, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll be storms in your life, but I'm going to see you through. Amen. That's what I was feeling this week as I began to read that, and then I read that and it kind of stood out like a neon light. It said, and it was now dark. Hallelujah. And I realized something. I realized that when we begin to, now I want you to understand something I'm about to speak, because I don't want you to perceive that I'm telling you that just because we have a trial, just because we have a storm, Just because sometimes it gets dark and fearful in our life that we have backslidden, amen, and left the Spirit of God. That's not my intention. That's not my meaning. I don't believe that's what Jesus was talking about. But let me tell you something. Even though it was the direction, and Jesus himself constrained the disciples to go on down in the boat and go on across there, let me tell you something. When we begin to step away from Jesus, it's going to get dark. And the darkness is going to be a gross darkness. Darkness that will it completely engulf us. I'm not saying we've lost out. I'm not saying we're backslidden. I'm not saying we have denied that Jesus is alive and well in our life. But I know there's times in my life, amen, when I was constrained to do something and maybe I leaned to my own understanding and I went in another direction, and maybe for a little while I was going in a direction that the Lord didn't want me to go, and then it began to get dark, and then all of a sudden I'm engulfed in darkness, and I look around, and the Bible said Jesus was not yet come to them. Jesus has not yet come to your life. No wonder there's darkness. No wonder there's fearfulness in your life. No wonder you're overcome with battles. No wonder that you're fighting with situations and anxieties and stress and all of these things that come against us. It can get very dark out there when we step away from Jesus. It can get very dark out there when we try to handle situations on our own. We try to do this in our strength and our might. Amen. So many times that rowing, we're rowing in the wrong direction. Come on. We're struggling. Jesus, where are you? You can almost hear Jesus. I didn't walk away. You did. I'm here in the mountain. You left. Hallelujah. 3 or 4 miles. It's not very far for things to become very dark. Well, I know I've slacked up a little bit on my prayer life. It don't take long for things to get dark. I know I really haven't been attending church and seeking the will of God, and I know I'm really not as close to the Lord as I want to be or as I once was. Can I tell you that it doesn't take too many miles, too many spiritual miles, that all of a sudden you look around, you can't see the seashore, you can't see Jesus, you can't see nothing but darkness, you can't see nothing but fear, you can't see nothing but stress around you. Let me tell you, these are the times we need to wait on the Lord. We need to ask Jesus, Lord, I don't want you to leave my boat. I want you to stay in the ship. I want you to be with me every day. Lord, help me not to stray. Help me not to leave you. Help me not to walk away from you. Because when I do, all I find is fear and darkness, and I can't be able to comprehend a way through it. Remember, my message was overcoming darkness and fear. I'm here to tell you today, there is an antidote. Amen. There is a cure. Glory to God. There is a brighter way. There is a brighter side. All things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. There is a way through. Amen. To go through the fear. There is a way to go through the darkness. There is a way to go through that trial, that tribulation, that persecution, whatever it is that Satan or the enemy has bombarded you with. I'm here today to tell you there is hope, and the hope is in Jesus. Hallelujah. 3 or 4 miles, the storm comes. Often thought, Lord, as great a service as we just had, it ought to be smooth sailing this week. Can I tell you, I've been in some services that were so great, I went to sleep with a smile on my face. I mean, I was just overjoyed. You ever been? I was tired. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you sometimes, and then when things settle in, you know what I'm talking about. That body's just exhausted. Glory to God. You pick up a live wire. Brother Keith, what's a live wire? What's a good voltage? Ooh, that sounds high. Is that? Some of us don't want that much power. I might have to do something if I get that much power. Lord might ask me to teach a class, preach a sermon, or sing a song, or go witness to... What's a little less voltage? 120. That's more my neighborhood. I'll just get a little power and I'll do a little bit. No. Well, let me tell you. What was the other one? The 2? Oh, gosh. I have felt that 277. Know what it is? Glory to God. I felt the power of God. I didn't want the service to end. I didn't want the prayer to end. I felt the power of God. I almost felt like I wasn't even walking on the floor. I felt like I was just kind of sailing through the air. The Holy Ghost had a hold of me. He meant at that particular time, there's absolutely nothing that God can't do. He'll heal. He'll deliver. He'll do whatever it is. Oh, it's good to feel that. Amen. And then things kind of settle down and we get home and I'm just like this. Because that 270 had surged through my body. And I went to sleep with a smile on my face and feeling the enormous gratitude and thankfulness of a humble heart of thanksgiving to what Jesus had just allowed me to experience. Thinking within my mind, there's no way that this week can't be good. It's got to be good. Only to find out 3 or 4 miles from that experience, just a few little furlongs of rowing, things begin to get dark. Fear overtakes my spirit. First of all, I'm questioning, God, where are you? Why can't I feel like I did Sunday night? Why am I battling this darkness? Why am I questioning my salvation? Why am I questioning your power? 3 or 4 miles from the shore. Amen. And then I realize that Jesus was on the shore. I'm the one that set sail. I'm the one that rowed away. I'm the one that went out on my own. I'm the one that, you know, after that blessing, I didn't even ask, well, Lord, have your way in my life this week because I'm too busy feasting on what He just blessed me with. Glory to God. After the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, when the people that were there saw the miraculous power of the Son of God touch a fish and multiply it, break the bread and feed 5,000 men plus women and children, and the Lord told them to eat all you want, keep eating, eat until you're full. And then after they're full, there's still an abundance, amen, left over. And I want to put that in a spiritual context this morning. When we gather in one mind and one accord, the Lord says, you don't have to nibble. You don't have to just taste. You can have all that you want. You can be filled. You can be touched. You can be anointed. You can be delivered. Victory can be in your life. The table is spread. It's all out here for you. And yet some of us just eat a little and go on our way. And then just after that miraculous event, we find that we're already in need of Jesus. Just a few miles from shore. And there's darkness. Just a couple of days from a church service and doubt has already crept into our heart. We're battling. We think that there's no answer when we know that there is. And the Bible said not only was it dark and Jesus hadn't come to him, but the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Come on now. Things look good when they kind of set sail from the shore, but when they got out, the wind began to blow. The sea began to be boisterous. Fear was gripping their very heart. Then something happens. Glory to God. I can't even begin to fathom, comprehend, or truly understand the mind of God. I've often said, in a chess game, I'm waiting and trying to figure out the next move. He's 5 or 6 games ahead of me. And here I am kind of floundering and wondering what to do when he's already down the road. So many of us are that way. Lord, I'm worrying over this. I'm battling with this when we just need to put our faith and trust in the Lord. Amen. And here it is, the wind is blowing. Here it is, the sea is boisterous. And the Bible says they were afraid. And then something happens. As I said, I cannot begin to even conceive or understand the greatness of the mind of God. I don't want to ask him, why do you choose the darkest hour to appear? Why do you sometimes wait till it seems like all hope is gone before you throw the lifeline out? Before you put your arms around me and lift me up out of that burdensome pit that I myself made? I still don't understand, but I just know he shows up. I said, I know he shows up. When it seems like that's all I can do, when it seems like I can't take another step, when it seems like I'm going down for the third time, all of a sudden something happens. All of a sudden, amen, God reaches down his spiritual hand and he lifts me up. He places me on top of solid ground. He establishes my going again. Amen. Time and time and time again, he's never failed me. He never will. Even though there's darkness, even though there's fear, through Jesus Christ, I am an overcomer. Amen. Through the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Seemingly in the darkest hour, seemingly when the winds were at their peak, Jesus comes walking on the sea. Now, he could have gotten the boat with them. But as I said earlier, the Lord has a reason for everything that he does. I can't stand here today and tell you I fully understand and know the reason Jesus waited. I don't. I guess people have opinions and I don't know. Maybe he wanted to let the disciples know that there will be a time that I will be taken away with. I won't be here in body with you, and you've got to learn to put your faith and trust in my power. Who knows? I don't know the mind of the Lord, but I do know he had a reason. Amen. And the storm, this is what, well, there's a lot that excites me about that story. But this is one in particular. 3 to 4 miles away from the shore, things begin to disintegrate. Things begin to turn for the worse. As I already said, darkness prevails. I think it was not just an ordinary darkness. It was a thick kind of darkness that you feel. The winds begin to blow. The storms begin to rock the ship. And the waves begin to splash against the boat. And you know what? The waves begin to splash over into the boat a little bit. And it begins to be kind of serious with these disciples, insomuch that they may have become a little fearful of the storm. But then they look, and Jesus is just taking a walk right in the midst of the storm. Lord, give me faith. Not to speak to the storm and tell it to leave, but just give me the faith to walk through the storm. Just like you did. walking on those boisterous seas, just taking a little stroll. Amen. In fact, I don't even think the Lord realized that it was really a storm, because he knew, amen, that he was going to prevail. But the disciples looked. Have you ever had to take a second look? Maybe strain your eyes a little bit and rub your eyes, and they see some figure out there on the sea. And they're fearful of the very thing, of the very person that's going to save them. Fearful. Man. And they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship. They were afraid. I can imagine. What is that? Did you see that? Is that somebody? How can that be? Then maybe it looks like Jesus. And then maybe one says, it is Jesus. And all of a sudden, he saith unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. That intrigued me. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, if roles were reversed, and I was coming in a boat of rescue, and those that were in the boat and were in desperate situations, who are you? I say, it's Eddie. It's Eddie. We're coming to rescue you. Notice, Jesus didn't say, it's Jesus. He said, it is I. One's translation in the Hebrew says, I am. Don't be afraid. Ooh, when you say it like that, all of a sudden I remember what God told Moses. I am with you. Don't you fear. What am I going to tell Pharaoh? Tell him I am has sent you. Let me tell you, when the storm comes, just remember that I am is with you. Amen. I am. You know what I am means in Hebrew? I am what and whenever you need me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not I was, not I will be, but I am is with you. And when I am is with you, you don't have to fear. Because through the storm, through the darkness, through the persecution, you can overcome when I am is with you. I am. Be not afraid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Help me, Lord, not to look at the storm. Help me to look at the great I am. Help me not to be fearful. Help me not to be afraid. But when those things come and when they grip me, help me to look past the storm. Help me to look past the darkness and see the great I am. Hallelujah. Who is my deliverer? Glory to God. He said, it is I. Be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Hallelujah. Willingly. Hallelujah. How many knows that sometimes it takes a storm to make us willing? Oh, Brother Eddie, don't preach that. Preach the great I am. Preach the victory. Preach the redemption. All of that is possible and all of that is forthcoming. But there has to be a willingness on our part. Hallelujah. Not on the part of Jesus, because he is always willing. Amen. If we would but repent, if we would but come to him with an open confession, if we would just pour our heart out to him, he is willing. But sometimes the reason for the storm, we knew it all the time. We may question it. We may wonder about it. But if we're completely honest with ourselves, it was to make us willing. It was to make us submissive. It was to make us humble. It was to make us come with an expectation. Don't get mad at the storm that comes. Don't get mad that the darkness is around you. But be willing to say, Jesus, come into my boat. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into this situation. Speak the word, Lord. Hallelujah. So that the storm will cease. Glory to God. Then they willingly One translation says, they willingly and gladly. Amen. How many remembers when you willingly and gladly accepted Jesus into your life? Glory to God. Not just to show up just when storms come, but to abide with us. Hallelujah. Through the storm, through the darkness. Jesus may not keep them from coming, but he will give the ability to be an overcomer through those storms. Another wonderful thing I liked about this story, and I'm going to try to close. Hallelujah. But I feel the great I am in this building. Hallelujah. I feel the great I am encouraging me. I feel the great I am telling me, hey, it's all right. That storm ain't near as bad as you think it is. That darkness, amen. Wait, you know one thing about darkness? When a little bit of light hits it, the darkness is gone. Glory to God. Don't take but just a little bit of light. A little bit of illumination. Several things intrigue me about the story. Bible says that the disciples had rowed 3 or 4 miles. Intense. Then came the storm, then came the wind, came the darkness. But it says when they received him willingly into the boat, notice, immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Hallelujah. There's a time for rowing, and there's a time for sailing. When Jesus got in the boat, there was across the sea. Hallelujah. I was reading a little bit about this sea. The Bible says that in verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. There is, according to history, a smaller version of the Sea of Galilee that's kind of like a tributary that's over beyond the Sea of Galilee. I didn't know that. I just thought it was just the Sea of Galilee and they just kind of went from this side to the other side. But they had a point of destination. That's where they wanted to go. But they couldn't find it in the storm. And they couldn't find it in the darkness. But Jesus, when he got it, they wasn't even near it. How many knows that you can row and row and row and be just as lost as you was when you started rowing? Because you're rowing and Jesus ain't in the boat. You're rowing and Jesus, it ain't Jesus' wheel. Amen. But when they willingly received him into the boat, immediately they were at their point of destination. When I read that, they didn't have to, for all you lazy folks, they didn't have to row no more. Hallelujah. They was there. They was there. A place that they had struggled to be. A place that they couldn't even get in their eyesight. They couldn't even see their hope. They couldn't even see that miracle. They couldn't even see that good thing that was out there for them. But as soon as Jesus got into the boat, immediately they were at their destination. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm not where I need to be. Well, you need to get there. Amen. Because it ain't the Lord's will that you be far away from him. Amen. Keep him near. Keep him here. Amen. Entertain that spirit that is within you. Never take a trip. Never do anything. Never make a decision unless you ask, is it the will of the Lord? Father, I want to be submissive. I want to be obedient unto you. Because I know, Lord, even with a close relationship with you, there's still storms out there. There's still darkness out there. There's still all of these fearful things. But I know with you, I am an overcomer. Bible says we're more than conquerors. Through Christ, which gives us strength, which strengthens us. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love him? Do you love him enough to obey him? Do you love him enough to keep him in your boat? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand? Every eye closed, every head bowed, every saint of God praying. If you're here today and you feel like somehow this word of God has kind of touched where you are, kind of what you're going through, and you thought there was no hope and you thought there was no end in sight, But according to the Word of God, we can be an overcomer if we'll willingly accept Jesus into our life. If we'll willingly be submissive and obedient to His will, not ask His will to make